Hello and welcome to another edition of the NBA Outlet presented by OTGBasketball.com. Make sure you follow OTG on Twitter at OTGBasketball. I'm your host, Nick Fay. With me today, OTG's Canadian connection, Jonathan Ibrahim, and Chris from the Greatness Podcast Network. What's up, guys?
Thanks for having me back on, guys. Glad to be back. Glad to talk some hoops and some free agency.
Yeah, man. Thanks for having me on. I'm ready to talk, man. We got some things to discuss.
Yeah, it's been a pretty exciting offseason so far. We've had a few trades. You know, the draft was just this past Thursday, but we're here to talk free agency. What we're going to do here today, we're going to run through the top 20 free agents, you know, boards, CBSs, hoop types, all their rankings together, give you the top 20 guys. So to start off, we'll talk Kevin Durant. You know, obviously he's going to be a free agent, but we know he's going to resign with Golden State. Any question from you guys on this?
No, not at all. He's going to resign, and I wouldn't be surprised if he takes a discount so they can get the band back together.
I actually read something about him taking a $3 to $4 million discount so that they can, you know, make it work. So, I mean, I applaud the Warriors, man. These guys know they're good. They're going to play together for a while. Like, they want to be together and share the ball. So, the league is on notice. Like, everybody's panicking right now, and that's for good reason.
Yeah, you guys mentioned he might take a pay cut. I read somewhere that it would be for Andre Iguodala to resign. So, that'd be huge for them to keep that core together. But so Durant's a lock to stay. The next guy, Steph Curry, we don't even need to talk about him. He's more of a lock to even stay in Golden State. So we'll move to number three, Gordon Hayward. You know, this is a guy who's around that top five, top seven small forward position. What do you guys see in Hayward, the improvements he's made in this game? And do you have him? Where do you have him in terms of small forwards?
Yeah, so I think Hayward, I thought Boston would take him. But now it's like with Jason Tatum, do you take him still? Like, and then they still got to figure out what they're doing with Isaiah Thomas. Do you want to pay a 5'9 point guard a max contract? That's a rough one. So I don't know. With the way that Utah is growing as well, it still wouldn't shock me if he stayed there. But I think Hayward is definitely in small forwards. He got to be top 10, definitely. Like, it's not too many other guys out there that can do what he does offensively. He gives you a lot of shooting, really active. So I don't know, and maybe Boston, but other than that, he stays in Utah.
I think there's a good chance he goes to Boston. He's going to go play for his old coach from his college days at Butler. I think he's a nice fit there. I think he's got a better chance to win in Boston than he does in Utah, just by virtue of playing in the Eastern Conference. So I think there's a good chance he moves out east and joins the Celtics. But then that kind of puts pressure on the Celtics. Like you said, Chris, they've got a lot of depth at that front court position, especially small forwards. So that might help them move maybe a Jay Crowder or Jaylen Brown and bring in somebody at a different position to kind of help bolster that roster a little bit.
Yeah, it definitely would set the Celtics up for a logjam at small forward. But like you said, they could make a move. A few things about Hayward that kind of that people don't notice is, you know, his numbers are a little down, but that's also because the Jazz play at one of the slowest paces in the NBA. So that's something to take note of. Also, a nice thing about Hayward, he continues to improve his game. I think we all remember when he first came into the league, he was kind of more of a scrawny small forward. He's added a lot of size, improved his athleticism. So for me, I think, you know, Boston's a likely scenario here. I think he could leave Utah. I think it's just a little bit easier to win in the East. There's been some rumor of Miami, but I don't see that as likely. If I had to put money on it, I would say he's going to sign with Boston.
Don't count Miami out, though. Like remember back in 2010, we didn't think LeBron James, Chris Bosh, and Dwayne Wade were all going to sign on the same team together. But Pat Riley can make some crazy things happen, right?
Yeah, he drops all those rings on the table and you kind of get shook. But so we'll see what happens with Hayward, because, I mean, he's a player. I don't think he's the best player in a championship team, but he's maybe your second or third. Interesting stuff with Hayward. But moving on to him, this guy's had a weird type of career, and that's Blake Griffin. You know, coming to the league, super athletic. He's starting to lose a little bit of athleticism, a ton of injuries. Big year for him as a free agent. Will he re-sign with the Clippers? Will he be gone? What do you guys think about Blake's health? Has he played his best basketball, or is he still going to be fine for the next few years?
It's tough to say. A lot of players have some serious injury concerns early on, and they overcome it. Steph Curry is a good example. His ankles were terrible at the beginning of his career, and the last three seasons has been absolutely no issue whatsoever. So it's hard to say that. And with Blake, you know, he can adjust his game a little bit. He's skilled enough to kind of play a little bit more of a finesse style than the kind of athletic bruising way that he's been playing right now. So he can make some adjustments, but I don't think he's going to get much better. Like this is who he is. I mean, his numbers have pretty much been the same across the board his whole career. He's, 20 points, 10 rebounds. And that's what you expect. Don't expect so much on the defensive side. Don't expect him to really team into a championship contender. But I think what you see with Blake is what you get. But I think he stays with the Clippers.
I don't know. I think he's going to be out of there. But it's kind of funny that, Chris Paul and Blake Griffin locked DeAndre Jordan in his house just to opt out. Like, that's hilarious to me. and I don't know. I was arguing with somebody yesterday about him deserving a max contract. I think because of his injury history and his play style, I wouldn't pay him a max. Because if you're an athletic player and your game is really jumping and dunking, let's be honest, he doesn't have any footwork. If that's your game's being athletic and you've had 8 surgeries, I don't see how I could, how am I going to pay you max? Like, how long are you going to last?
Yeah, it's an interesting question. It kind of gets me to my next point. Can Blake Griffin still be the best player in your team and you still be, a top team in this league, or is that out of the question?
I don't think Blake's ever been the best player on a good team. I don't think that's ever been the case. Like, he's always had Chris Paul with him, and I think without Chris Paul, that team's not really a contender. So I don't think he's going to take a team very far on his own. If he joins, let's say, a Russell Westbrook or the crew down in Miami with Dion Waiters and those guys, maybe a lone star in a, kind of untalented team, I don't think he's going to do much.
I think this is a narrative that we shouldn't push on players. Like, some players shouldn't want to be the guy, like a guy like Gordon Hayward, he shouldn't want to be the main player, the first option. Some guys like that, some guys flourish in like that second, third option role. Only the superstars like LeBron and Melo in his prime when he was in Denver, Kobe, young Kobe, like some players are made to be like that main guy. Blake isn't that. He's made to be that second, third option. We call plays for him sometimes, but he really, finds his rebounds and go to work on his own. And I think that's where he can really flourish. Now, that's where I think he'll end up is in OKC with Russell Westbrook. That's going to be a good team, man. Like, terrible on defense, but a good team.
Well, my next question is, Jonathan mentioned CP3 with Blake. Do you think we're going to see a little bit of less from Griffin because he's not playing with Chris Paul, obviously one of the best playmakers in the game? So do you think that's going to hurt him on the next team he joins, or he just needs to join a team like OKC with Westbrook there, or a team like Houston with James Harden, another playmaker that can make his life easy?
Well, it's like you said, if he joins a team with another good playmaker, he'll be okay. He's not so great at making his own or creating his own shot, but when he has somebody to kind of feed him the ball on the high post and kind of let him go to work, he's been pretty effective. He played well when Chris Paul went down, though. Like, anytime Chris Paul's been injured and it's just been Blake, he still plays well. His numbers don't really suffer much. So I think he'll be okay regardless of where he goes. But again, I don't think he's the guy that can take your team far in the playoffs. If he's the only guy on your team that that's really a star per se, then your team's kind of going to suffer. It's just the way it is.
I totally agree with that. I think Blake should try to adapt some of the skills that Paul Millsap has. Like, I think Paul Millsap has a lot of years left in this league because of his play style now. He can stretch the floor. He can still score on the post, but that's not his only ability, and he isn't relying on jumping and dunking. And Blake, seeing he's had so many injuries, at this point in your career, you kind of have to – look at the longevity. Like, do I want to play for another 2 years or do I want to play for another 5? So he has to add more things into his game, better ball handling, things like that. And then he will really be able to get to the next level.
Yeah, that's a good point. Kind of work on some of the things that Millsap does, the shooting. Obviously, Blake's improved there, but it would definitely be some improvements on the defensive end as an all-around team defender, more, studying of the film and things along those lines. So where do you guys think Blake ends up this summer?
I think he's going to stay with the Clippers, but if he leaves, I actually think he's going to go to Miami. That's where I think he goes if he leaves the Clippers.
Oh, Miami. I still think OKC, but, they do already have a nice set of big men over there. I don't know. I got a feeling that he wants to go home. I just have this feeling. I don't know. He might end up staying in LA though, but I think it really depends on what Chris Paul does. They're probably talking to each other every day. No, they're not. They probably hate
Yeah,
each
I think
other.
the whole Clipper situation, you know, I think you're right though. It kind of depends on, you know, Chris Paul, Blake, but I also could see Blake want to leave and kind of just get another opportunity somewhere. I could definitely see OKC, like you said, from Oklahoma. I think Houston has been talked about, and that'd be an interesting choice. He would fit in with that type of offense. And then, obviously, you mentioned the Heat and signing back with the Clippers. I guess I want to see him in Houston. I think that'd be really cool to watch, but I guess I'm going to feel with OKC. You know, I just think that connection, him and Westbrook, will be an interesting combo. They're going to have to move a contract, and there's been talk about them moving Cantor, so that would probably happen, open things up for Blake. But on to his counterpart on the Clippers, Chris Paul. He just opted out as well. So this is, you know, obviously Chris Paul needs to win his rings. He's at age 32. He's still one of the top point guards in the NBA. What are your guys' thoughts on Chris Paul entering this offseason?
This one's tough, man. I have no idea how this one's going to go because you're right. There, on one hand, he's getting older. He wants to win. He's you know, his legacy is kind of on the balance here because he's never been out of the second round, even though he's, you know, put up elite point guard numbers. The other side of that is he loves LA. He loves the lifestyle. He loves living out there. From what I know, he doesn't want to leave. And there's not too many other situations out there where position than what they've had in LA. They've just not been able to get the job done.
And that's what really bothers me is he's never been out of the second round, but he's clearly the last prototypical pass first point guard. Like that, I just feel sorry for him, man, because it's not always his fault, man. It sucks. But if Chris Paul wants to win, he will go to San Antonio. Like that will be the perfect place for him to, you know, take a pay cut. You know, do it in ring chase. I think that this whole argument about players ring chasing, we can't really judge them for it because when they don't have rings, we talk about them like Barkley. Like, you get trashed for it. So when I ring chase, it's still bad too. It's like they can't really win. So I think he has all the money he needs. He's still going to make money after the league. You know, go to San Antonio and try to get you one. That's like the best option to win right now. I mean, can we agree? That's like the one of the teams that's literally always at the top and always relevant to winning.
Yeah, and obviously they have a need at point guard. You know, you said the money thing. Chris Paul's got plenty of State Farm commercials, so we could see him maybe take a little bit of a pay cut. I still think he wants a good amount of money just because he's age 32. This is going to probably be his last big contract. But the Spurs should be able to offer him something if they move one of their guys. There was talk about them moving Aldridge or Green, so that could be a possibility. Obviously, we saw Houston was interested. The Nuggets are another team that interested. What do you guys think about him on the Nuggets? Do you think that has any type of chance, or they're too young at this point?
No, I don't think that has any traction whatsoever. The Nuggets are involved in every big free agent every year. It seems like they you know, they were going to sign Dwayne Wade last year, and this year's Chris Paul. I don't think he's going to Denver. It doesn't do anything for him. There's no reason. And just to kind of touch on your point, Chris, and kind of play devil's advocate. The only problem I have with him going to San Antonio is how Greg Popovich coaches the team. He doesn't really give his point guard the ball and say, "Okay, go out and you know, do your thing." He's calling plays from the sidelines. It's very ball movement centric. You know, Chris Paul's a very dominant player, or ball dominant player, sorry. And I don't know if that would work out. Kind of like how Rondo didn't work out in Dallas. I think you see some of the same issues with CP3 in San Antonio.
I get that Chris Paul wants to dribble, but now in today's NBA, the ball movement is what works. Like, it used to be where you can come down and you run a pick and roll, an easy bucket, or you post up and you score. But now look at the Warriors. They murder teams because they can make five or six passes to get open layup. And that's what the Spurs do. They can have the oldest players in the league and still beat you by 20 on just making extra passes. So I get what you mean on that's not Chris Paul's playing style, but I think he needs to adapt to something new. You've been playing this way since you came in the league and it has not worked. So you need to switch it up.
And I mean, obviously we know the pull that Popovich has, you know, being able to kind of convince a player. They know how great a coach he's been. What do you guys think about Houston and Chris Paul? Do you think that has any type of possibility, or just not a good fit with James Harden?
I don't think that fits at all. Like I heard somebody say it, and it kind of interested me at first, but I don't see how. I mean, unless they're going to play with two balls, I don't know how that's going to work.
I agree. I don't see how that works with Harden and Chris Paul. Like that, that's just, and that's the another thing where fans just want to have the big names and they aren't thinking about the chemistry that comes with basketball. Like if I'm like the main ball handler, I can't have another guy who's a main ball handler. It's the same way you can't have two guys, all they want to do is just shoot nonstop. Like Kobe and Melo would never work on the same team. They want to isolate too much. Like you just can't put two types of players together like that.
Yeah, it would make both guys change their games. You know, obviously they both would have the ball a lot less and it would probably hurt their games a little bit. So I don't necessarily agree with that fit like you guys had mentioned. But let's talk about Kyle Lowry. You know, Jonathan knows a lot about him being a Raptors fan. This is a big offseason for him. There's a lot of reports saying he's not going to re-sign with the Raptors. What do you guys think about Lowry? Is he a max-type guy? We know about his playoff struggles. We know about his injuries, and he is over 30.
I don't think Lowry's a max-type guy, but he's going to get a max for sure, whether that's in Toronto or somewhere else. I guess we'll find out. But, no, I don't think he's a max player, but he will get a max contract. I don't think he's leaving Toronto, to be completely honest. I know I've heard all the rumors too. There was rumors he was going to Philly. There was rumors he was going to San Antonio. The issues I have with that are last year, DeMar DeRozan was all but a foregone conclusion to join the Lakers. We heard it everywhere. It was coming out of every news outlet. And then on the first day of free agency, he signed a max deal with the Raptors. So I wouldn't read too much into the rumors. If he leaves, I'll be surprised. I won't be too shocked, but I'd be surprised. I don't think he's going anywhere.
I think Kyle Lowry is going to sign in Philly. Like he would fit. He's not a max guy, but he would fit perfectly there because now they have a lot more young talent. He's not, required to score 35 a game, even though he can. We've seen him do that. I think it'd be easier on him if he can score 15 and have 12 assists to all these young guys that are flying around dunking and stuff. Like, I mean, that right there would be perfect for Kyle Lowry. And let's be honest, the 76ers are coming, man. Like, they clearly have improved. The process is finally paying off. And Kyle Lowry isn't one of those guards that has to have the ball nonstop. So you can have Ben Simmons run the show and Markelle Fultz out there and have Lowry being that other guy to where he doesn't always need to just stick with the ball like a Chris Paul or James Harden. So I think Philly is the best situation for him. I think he'll sign there too. I got a feeling he's going to sign in Philly. That's my vote.
See, I disagree here. I think.
Yeah, I'm with you, Nick. I don't see how that works. No, I was just going to say I don't see how it works with those other ball handlers, Ben Simmons and Markelle Fultz, and with the way they're going with this youth movement. They've collected all this young talent now to go in 30-year-old, this big contract for the next 4 years. I just don't see how that fits with what they're trying to do, and then B on the floor. You got three guys that need the ball in their hands. So I just don't. And Kyle Lowry is not really a playmaker. He gets a lot of his assists from like dribble drive penetration and then kicking it out at the last minute. He's not really a playmaker like a Chris Paul or a Rajon Rondo. So I just don't see how it fits. I mean, you might be right. That's Philly. That's his hometown. That might be where he goes back. But I just don't see how it all works.
I think before the Markelle Fultz pick, I would have agreed with Chris, and I thought that he probably was almost a lock to sign in Philly just because they wanted a point guard. They wanted to add some more star power. You could just kind of see it. But with Fultz, I think they want to let the young core kind of develop together, and it just kind of keeps everything together. They don't have to worry about throwing money at Lowry. He'll kind of keep their cap flexibility nice when they have to re-sign these guys. Also, I think now with Lowry, the market isn't quite there. So Toronto, going back to Toronto, is a lot more likely. Another team that I think would maybe sign Lowry if they miss out on Chris Paul or another big free agent would be the Spurs.
Oh, I'm not mad at that one either, because it's clear that Tony Parker is on the decline. DeJounte Murray is good, but I don't think you can have him out there as your full-time starter just yet. So I'm not mad at the Kyle Lowry going to the Spurs. But again, man, he's not a max guy, and the Spurs can't pay him that. So he's going to have to take a pay cut or stay in Toronto.
And another team would probably be the Jazz. Obviously, if they lose George Hill, they probably are interested in a point guard. So that would just be a name. But I think I'm going to agree with Jonathan. I think Toronto is the most likely. Another thing that is very important to talk about is the relationship between DeRozan and Lowry. They're great friends. When DeRozan was a free agent, I know they talked a lot. And then when Lowry was a free agent a few years ago, I read something that DeRozan called him every day. So I think that he resigns. I think they're pretty tight, unless just the chemistry and the whole Toronto thing is just not going well for Lowry, and he wants to move on, but I think he stays.
Let's not forget, they were in the Eastern Conference Finals, you know, 2 seasons ago, and they lost to the Cavs again this year. So, I mean, as good as Boston's got, I think they're probably the second best team with Ibaka, with DeRozan, with Lowry. I think they're the second best team in the East. So, you know, they're one LeBron James ankle sprain away from a trip to the finals.
Yeah, and we didn't mention this before, but I read a report that said that the Raptors could have some type of interest in Blake Griffin. So I don't. Obviously, they'd have to probably move some money around, but you know they could add a player. Another guy we'll talk about later is actually the next guy on this list, Paul Millsap, and that's been somebody I saw tied to the Raptors. Millsap, you know, age 32, but like Chris mentioned before, he's a smart player. He's able to impact the game in different ways. What do you guys think of Paul Millsap in free agency? What type of player is the team getting with him?
It was kind of like what Chris said, that they're getting one of the most underrated power forwards in the NBA. He does everything well. There's really not a whole lot that he doesn't do well. The only issue is he's a little undersized for that position, but he stretches the floor. He can shoot well. He plays really good post defense. He's got good hands. He can score down low. Like, he does everything well. So any team that is able to sign him, they're getting a good player. Yeah, he might be a little bit older, but hey, like Chris said, that type of game is conducive to a long career.
Exactly. So, I wouldn't be mad if he went to Washington, the team he lost to in the playoff. I would not be upset. I think that he would play well with John Wall and Bradley Beal, who's finally healthy. Otto Porter, high energy guy. Man, that would be a great pickup for them, man. I just feel like Washington is another team who this is almost like a make or break season for them. Seeing as how they've been building to get to the next level, you know, for years and years now. This is kind of like the season where they kind of have to – either you're going to keep going up or you can just drop down, you know. So getting Millsap could really help them get to that next level and compete with the Celtics too.
I think the funny thing, if, you know, if they get Millsap, they're definitely going to have Markieff Morris and him, you know, settle their differences or something. But I think the nice thing about Millsap is, like you guys have mentioned, his skill set. You know, he's just such a great complementary player. He can almost fit into any team, any system with the skills that he has, and he's going to help your team get better. It's just like such a long list of teams that could possibly sign him. We know the Heat are interested, the Celtics, the Raptors, the Nuggets, like you said, the Wizards. Almost any team with cap space is going to probably call Paul Millsap. I think he's probably going to want to go to a winning situation being 32. Where do you guys think he lands this summer?
I think there's probably two options. But I do want to point out that I don't know if Paul Millsap is going, you know, necessarily say, oh, I want to go and play for a winner. He just strikes me as the kind of guy who just wants to play basketball, and he's going to go and play basketball where he's going to be the most happy. I don't think he's too bothered with winning. That's just my opinion of Paul Millsap. But I could see him signing with Denver or Houston. Or at a long shot, he could try that. If the Raptors find a way to move Jonas Valanciunas' contract, he might sign with the Raptors.
I would like the Houston fit. I mean, I think Houston would be a nice fit. He offense, you know, positive there, and he'll actually add another good defensive player with Patrick Beverley. So that would really improve that team.
Yeah, Houston got to stop trying to give up Patrick Beverley, man. He is a dog, man. You can't give up that dog. Like, Patrick Beverley is one of those guys that you never want to play against because, you know, all game he's going to be in your face just breathing on you. Oh, my God, I hate playing against guys like that. But adding Paul Millsap, it would be deadly because then you got to keep Clint Capella. I think Nene was really good last season, like really, really good in the playoffs too. So adding Millsap to that, man, that would get them over the hump more than Chris Paul because he just gives them different things to work with.
I agree. And keeping Pat Beverley, he's a solid fit beside James Harden.
And Pat Beverley's just somebody when you play the Warriors, and obviously that's a team everyone's trying to beat, is he's a guy out there that can annoy, you know, the other team's maybe second best player in Steph Curry. So that would be something interesting. And then, like you mentioned, you know, he would provide a better impact because he's giving him more of an upgrade at that position, you know, replacing Ryan Anderson, who's definitely a questionable defender and is a pretty inconsistent offensive player, in my opinion. Moving on to number 8, though, Serge Ibaka, another big-time power forward. Ibaka's not the same shot blocker he was in OKC at the time. He's definitely improved as an offensive player, especially as a shooter. And he's only 27 years old, which I think is kind of surprising when I saw that last night. You know, he's been in the league for a while now. What do you think Ibaka wants this offseason? Does he want a bigger role on a team, or does he want to win?
it's tough to say. I mean, I don't think he can hate his role that he the role that he got in Toronto, because he was the third option, second option for a while too. I don't think he can really be anything more than that. I don't think he has the skill or the ability to be a first or a second option. But I think the role in Toronto worked out really nicely for him. And if they move, if they move Valanciunas' contract and decide to go with a small ball lineup, they'll move him to the center. And I think that's, you know, when you have a stretch five, that makes your team a lot more dangerous. So I think he, from what I know, he likes the situation in Toronto. He likes the African community we have in Toronto. We have a multicultural, you know, community here, and we have all different cultures and stuff like that. So I think he stays.
I agree. I think he'll stay in Toronto. He was flourishing out there, man. Like, Toronto just needs a few different pieces, man, and they'll be better. But Ibaka is definitely a key player in what they have going now.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens with Ibaka. You know, if the Raptors are successful in signing one of the other big names, like a Paul Millsap or something like that, who else do you think will be interested in? Obviously, there's been some talk about the Celtics, some talk about the Nuggets. Where do you guys see him signing if he doesn't re-sign with Toronto?
I think there's a good chance, not to bring the same team up over and over again, but I think there's a good chance he signs with Houston. He kind of fits with what they do. They need athletic guys, play defense on the defensive side, but they also need players that can shoot from outside, and he's somebody that can offer them both. He can give them rim protection, and he can give them three-point shooting. That's exactly what D'Antoni's system kind of looks for in a player.
I agree, man. I was going to say Houston too, because they just need to upgrade at that position. You know, that's what they really need to combat with the Warriors and the Cavs and the Spurs. And like you said, Ryan Anderson was really inconsistent. You have a game where you have 30, and next game you have like 10. Just really bad. So they do need that upgrade.
Yeah, so that'll be a guy. He'll kind of be like a fallback option for a couple teams that don't hit on Blake Griffin or Paul Millsap. But moving on to another point guard, Drew Holiday. You know, Holiday is kind of like an underrated guy, but his problem is staying healthy. He hasn't played over 70 games in the last four seasons.
Yeah, it was tough this year with his wife. Injuries weren't really the issue. He was dealing with that situation with his wife, which took him out of the game for a while. But he's a really good player, especially like when he's healthy. He's a really good player. He's lost a bit of that athleticism that kind of separated him a little bit early in his career, but he's still skilled. He can shoot from outside. He's a good defender. So I think any team that needs a point guard, if they're looking for a system player, Drew Holiday's their guy.
Yeah, I'm really against players who, like, you know, have a lot of time off. I understand it was his family, and, you know, best wishes to them. But, you know, I don't see what type of contract he gets, man. I'm really lost on this one because he had so much time off, and like you said, he has taken a step back physically, so it'll be interesting to see wherever he goes.
It's definitely going to be an interesting situation with him. He's, you know, like Jonathan said, like an all-around guy. He can do a couple different things for you defensively. He still brings some stuff. And, you know, where do you think, you know, do you think he re-signs with the Pelicans, or he's going to be a backup option for one of these other teams in the point guard market?
Oh no, he's not going to be a backup.
No, not Drew a backup, Holiday's like a backup option as in like backup, you know, I'm going to back up.
I got you. I think the Pelicans are going to do what they can to re-sign him because, you know, with that trade they pulled off last year, Allen put around those guys, and they can offer them the best. They can offer Drew the best contract, and he played well last season. I mean, he played 67 games, gave them 15-7. He played well. He was one of the better point guards. I mean, he's not a star anymore, right? He never really was a star, but he's not going to be that guy anymore. But he, with playing with Anthony Davis and DeMarcus Cousins, he's still a solid player.
Yeah, it's hard for a point guard to walk away like from a big combo like that. You know, that's easy assist right there.
So I was just about to say that it's so easy for him to get assists now. Like, you got two of the clearly the best big men in the league right now, and they're both young. I don't see him leaving. I think he stays there with the Pelicans.
You think he stays? If he were to leave, what team do you think would be interested in him?
Yeah, I think there's a good chance the Spurs would like a guy like Drew Holiday. Plays both ends of the court. He's a system guy. Doesn't have a big ego. You know, Pop likes to draw to bring in players to the Spurs that are, he says, over themselves. And I think Drew Holiday's, he's over himself. So I think he'd be a nice fit there if he doesn't stay with the Pelicans.
Another team that's been talked about is the Knicks. They have his brother. He's a free agent, though, as well, Justin Holiday. There's a report these guys wanted to play together. So that could be interesting, you know, two-for-one type of deal right there. Maybe his brother comes to the Pelicans. Also some ties to the Bucks. You know, upgrading the point guard, he kind of fits the athleticism over there, and he can kind of complement some of their players. But moving on to another young free agent, Otto Porter from the Wizards. He's a restricted free agent, so that, you know, that does mean something. He's one of the top 5 3-point shooters in the league this year. I think he shot around 43%. What do you guys see in Otto Porter at only age 24? You know, he can still get better. What do you think is going to happen this year with him?
It's tough to say. I mean, he's a good player. He's a good piece, but I don't know how much the Wizards are really going to want to spend on bringing him back. Like you said, he's a great outside shooter, and he's a pretty good rebounder as well. It just depends on what he kind of fetches in the open market. If a team like Sacramento or New York tries to offer some dumbass contract for like $20 million a year, Washington's not going to try and match something like that, right? So it'll really depend on the type of offers he fields. But I think at a reasonable price, Washington will match it, bring him back. But if there's a team out there like, you know, one of those less well-managed franchises that offer him something outrageous, and hey, it wouldn't be the first time something like that happened, then I think he leaves. I don't think Washington will match it.
I agree with that. I think that he's a good player. He's not like a starter, but he can be a starter on certain teams. But I like him for his energy. You know, I saw him chase down so many rebounds last season to just give you a lot of effort, and that's hard to find, man. He can shoot a little bit, willing to play some defense. I wouldn't say he's a max guy just yet. He's not on Gordon Hayward's level, but he's definitely a guy that most teams should want to have on their roster. So I do agree that the Knicks or somebody is going to be crazy enough to max him out, man.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see with him. I think the one thing where you look at Otto Porter is the improvements he's made in his game, you know, since he joined the league and proved that's a three-point shooter and only being 24 years old. So I think one of these teams, like you guys had mentioned, one of these lesser teams is going to maybe throw a big offer at him. I know the Nets have been tied to him. I wouldn't necessarily be, like, super happy or upset. I mean, it's a risk you got to take when you don't have draft assets. So I would just hope that he continues to improve. And I think as a defender, if he just adds some more size, he can really become, you know, more dominant on that side of the ball.
Yeah, he's one of those guys. He could play in today's NBA. He could play the three or the four. He's one of those guys that just needs to bulk up a little bit.
Exactly. So we'll see what happens with him. You know, this is the restricted free agency is definitely some weird stuff. You could see huge offers, or you can see the Wizards kind of get him for a relatively good deal. But on to another guy, George Hill. You know, another two-way player, a solid guy. You know, he's not going to be a top 10 point guard anytime soon, but you know, he's still going to be a great complimentary piece. What do you guys see in George Hill this summer?
He had a really good season, well, at least a really good start this season with Utah, and then once again injuries kind of got in the way. But I think from what I heard, the narrative coming out of Utah all season long was that he was enjoying himself. He kind of rediscovered himself again this year. He was playing some of the best basketball of his career, if not the best basketball of his career, you know, at 30 years old. So George Hill, for me, you know, I don't see too many teams being interested because he doesn't offer a whole lot. Like, he's not a playmaker. He's more of a plug-in guy. But I think he'll stay in Utah. I like that fit for him. I like how it all worked out this year. I think that's where he stays. I don't think he's going anywhere.
I agree. I think he's going to stay there. Utah really made a jump, and they improved a lot, even though they got swept by the Warriors. I think them beating the Clippers really helped them as a unit. You know, like, it just seemed like it lifted their spirits a little bit. And George Hill was a good contributor in that, so I don't see him leaving at all.
Yeah, the only concern I think people had mentioned for George Hill in this offseason is injuries. You know, it seems like every year he's banged up. One team that I know has some ties to George Hill, and this is a guy they traded previously, and they really they didn't regret it, but, you know, they missed his presence, and that was the Spurs. You know, Greg Popovich has said that he's really liked George Hill, so that could be a team. You know, they don't land Chris Paul, they don't land a Lowry. Maybe they go out and sign George Hill.
Yeah, that's a good point, and I like that fit. He's definitely a Spur. He fits what they try to do there. I like that fit.
And the nice thing about Hill, I think, is too, is you don't have to worry about him. Like, he's not the point guard where he needs the ball a ton. He's a good complementary player where you can add him to a system, and he's going to help you improve. Moving on from him, another point guard that played for the Pacers at one point, that's Jeff Teague. You know, Teague's definitely an interesting player. He's kind of hard to gauge because he's so inconsistent, in my opinion. Some games you watch him and he looks like he really could have a lot of potential, and then other times he just seems like he's not confident and missing a lot of shots. So what do you guys think about Jeff Teague? Where does he fall in terms of point guards in the NBA?
He's kind of roughly that same echelon as George Hill. I like his game. He does a lot well, but he's one of those guys that he needs to be in the right system to flourish. I think he took a big step back going to Indiana, not necessarily in ability or anything, just in his effectiveness, how well he was able to play. But when he was in Atlanta, he was able to drive to the basket. He had all those shooters around him, Kyle Korver, Paul Millsap, Damari Carroll when he was there. And I think that's the way he likes to play. Whereas when he moved to Indiana, the ball doesn't move as much. Paul George has got the ball in his hands a lot. And then he kind of becomes a peripheral player. Sorry. So I think for him, there's a good chance he leaves. And, you know, the more we talk about this list, the more I'm starting to realize that there's a lot of talented point guards in this free agent class. And there's a lot of teams that could use. There could be quite a bit of shuffling.
Yeah, the point guard market is something interesting right now because, like, there's some teams that drafted point guards on, you know, draft night. You know, the Sixers got Fultz, Mavericks got Dennis Smith Jr., the Knicks drafted Frank Ntilikina. So there could be some spots taken. There also could be some teams looking to upgrade, and there could be even some more trades. But, Chris, what are your thoughts on Jeff Teague in terms of a point guard in the NBA?
He's like a middle-of-the-road point guard. Like, he's kind of like a Chris Paul type. Pass first, he can score, but not very prolific. So now that the point guard position is really shifting to where you have to be able to score in bunches to be considered a top point guard. Look at Kyrie, Steph, Westbrook. If you can't put 30 up easily, people don't consider you a top point guard now. So I think that's why his relevancy is sort of declined. And like he said about the ball movement in Indiana, it was terrible. And for a guy like Jeff Teague, that's the only way he can really flourish. So, I mean, either he stays in Indiana or he tries to, you know, beg Popovich for a spot in San Antonio. But it's kind of rough for guys like him now, you know, because that the prototypical point guard position is dying.
Where could you guys see, you know, if they do if the Pacers trade Paul George, which they're most likely going to do, I see Jeff Teague wanting to leave, even though he is from Indiana. Where do you see Teague landing? Who would be interested in him?
I think Denver's a nice spot for him. I know they've got Moutier out there right now, but I'm not a big fan of his game. And I think the more he plays, the more the Nuggets are starting to realize he's not what they expected him to be. And I think a guy like Jeff Teague could come in and really help that team make it to the next stage, and that would be the playoffs.
Yeah, I agree. Actually, that would be a nice fit, you know, and kind of under the radar, not spending too much money, keeps your flexibility up, and you have another playmaker in Jokic. So that would, Chris, what do you think about that fit, or do you have another spot too, you think?
No, I like that fit over in Denver. And now that Minnesota has gotten a trade, you know, they got Jimmy Butler, it's like Denver is kind of one of those teams that'll be tinkering on making the playoffs or not. Maybe he can help them get in there.
Yeah, that definitely be something to watch. Obviously, like Jonathan mentioned, we could see a lot of point guard movement. But on to another guy who's done some injury history, and that's Gallinari. You know, he's bounced around. He's been from the Knicks to the Nuggets. Health has been a concern for him. When he's healthy, though, he's a great small forward, and he can really light it up offensively.
Yeah, I think Gallinari is going to attract a lot of attention this year. You know, you said small forward, but I think at his size, he can play both kind of the power forward or the small forward. He can't defend much. It doesn't matter what position he's playing. He can't defend much anyway, but you can kind of hide him on defense because he's that good of an offensive player. And the way he stretches the floor at his size, you know, he's almost Dirk Nowitzki-esque in that sense. But I think he's going to have a lot of suitors.
I agree, but I'm questioning how good he can be now. Like I don't know. I feel like he's one of those guys that has to be in the perfect environment for him to really produce. So I don't know. I'm not too sure on his movement at all.
Yeah, it's tough to see with Gallinari because the thing is, I think he's going to be a player, like Jonathan said, it's going to get a lot of interest because he's not a max guy. So he's a guy that's going to get a lot of offers across the board, and I think he's going to be another one of these players that's going to have to decide, you know, do I want to win, or do I just want to be in a great situation where I can score a lot, or do I want to make the money? So I think, you know, we could see teams. The Nuggets obviously are going to try to re-sign him probably. The Heat will be interested. The Rockets have been tied to him. The Knicks and the Nets have both been tied to him, and even the Celtics. So where do you guys see him landing if not back in Denver?
I got two spots, I think. If he doesn't sign in Denver, I got two spots I think he'll go. One thing I want to say before I give you my idea is that Gallinari is from Italy. And, you know, being a Raptor fan, I know a little bit about Italian basketball players. And one thing is that they don't grow up wanting to win NBA championships the same way American or Canadian-born players, kind of envision themselves winning championships. A lot of these guys view this as, I'm a professional athlete. If I win, that's nice. But if I don't, hey, I'm a millionaire and I'm playing a sport. So with that in mind, I think the number one landing space for him is going to be in Brooklyn.
All right.
But at night, hey, that's what I think. That's what I think, because Brooklyn's one of those teams that they need talent, period. And if he's coming over, if he's coming over from Denver, a small market team, he can make a nice pay, he can get a nice paycheck in Brooklyn, play in a big city. It's going to be a nice life for him. I'm telling you, I can see that happening. But the other thing, if they can make some moves and make sure they have the cap space, Minnesota is another team that I think he fits nicely with, because then you can go with Gorgui Dieng on the bench. You can start Karl Anthony Towns at center, and then you've got to stretch the floor with Gallinari at the four position.
It's funny you say the Nets, because I had that as a dark horse option, because I read something that they might be interested. You know, Sean Marks has talked about adding some shooting, and they wanted to add a veteran piece. Kenny Atkinson sent yesterday. And Gallinari has ties to Atkinson. At the time that Atkinson was in Knicks' assistant, Gallinari was there, and I think the relationship was good. So maybe that does happen. I could see that as a real possibility, too. I would be happy about that. Nice to have some, you know, real NBA talent on the Nets. And then also the Timberwolves, obviously, they're trying to improve and trying to get to that that next level, and adding Jimmy Butler and adding a guy like Gallinari would be huge. But, Chris, where do you think he could land? Do you think these two places are options, or you have another spot in mind?
Call me crazy, but I wouldn't be surprised if Phil Jackson took a swing here.
Gallinari loves New York. He said that multiple times, and that he's want to come back to New York. I've read that before. So I think the New York thing is a real possibility in either team.
Yeah, see, and that's the thing, man. With Phil Jackson, I feel like every player we've talked about is in play. Like, he's just not with us anymore. He's on another planet by himself.
I mean, and we didn't talk about this about Chris Paul, but Chris Paul said, like, there's reports that Chris Paul would have met with the Knicks this offseason, but the way they've alienated Carmelo Anthony has turned him off and turned off that meeting. So it's kind of really killed the Knicks in terms of free agency going in forward to the season.
Yeah, the way he – not even that. Now you're starting to see it with Porzingis. I don't know what he's doing. I don't know what he's trying to accomplish. But if I'm a free agent, there's no way I'm going to New York. If I'm a talented free agent.
Yeah, you don't want to deal with that. And it's been noted that agents have taken note of the way he's treating players. So it's going to be a tough offseason for them. But a nice guy who had a nice offseason last year, he ended up signing a late deal with Miami, and that's Dion Waiters. You know, he had his best year last season under Spoelstra. He's hit some big shots. What do you guys think about Dion Waiters? Has your opinion changed on him after his year in Miami?
Not really. I'm still stuck behind everybody else. I'm not high on Dion Waiters. I don't know, where all of the fervor came from. I mean, he played all right, 15 points a game, 3 rebounds, I think, 3 assists. But he shot, close to 40% from the field, and he's not that talented. He doesn't do a whole lot well. And, if you're gonna go and pay an undersized shooting guard that kind of money with that level of skill, be my guest. But he's not gonna change your team all that great. He's been in a few different places. It didn't work. And if LeBron can't make him a better player, then I don't know. I don't know who can, right? I think he stays in Miami. I think he's got a good relationship with Spoelstra, so I think he stays there. There might be some other pitches, but he's a dangerous, dangerous player to throw money at this year.
Oh, man, so dangerous. And fans love him because he's entertaining, He's like kind of like Lance Stevenson. Like, he's just an entertaining guy, so you just love him. But I agree. I don't think you throw too much money at him. And I do see him staying in Miami. The fans would be really upset if he left. So I think Pat Riley keeps him around.
Yeah, and I think the fact that I think Waiters probably wants to stay a little bit in the sense that Spoelstra helped him get the best of his abilities. But like you guys have mentioned, I would just be so risky to throw a lot of money at him. You have no idea what you're getting. You know, he's a solid defender, but the shooting numbers are definitely scary. But moving on to another guy that could kind of be a risk too, and that he's a restricted free agent as well, and that's Nerlens Noel. You know, obviously he was traded from Philly to Dallas last year. Dallas wants to keep him. Do you think some team tries to pry him away?
Yeah, I think a few teams are going to look at him and try and bring him in. He's a talented rim protector. He's a good option at center. But if I'm a general manager, I'm nervous about this because, you know, he can't stay healthy. Period. Right? Like he's been hurt last like 3-4 seasons. Actually, I don't even know if he's been in the league that long. I think he's only been in about 3 years. But he's pretty much been hurt every season.
And in the first season, he missed completely the whole entire thing.
That's right. So I'm nervous about this if I'm a general manager from this standpoint. I think that position, that center position, is dying. And the DeAndre Jordans and the Andre Drummonds, they slowly, they're becoming less utilized. They're becoming less valuable. And they're getting pulled off the court, especially because of their free throw shooting. Now, as bad of a free throw shooter as DeAndre or Drummond, but he's not a great free throw shooter. And I think late in games, so I would be surprised if he attracts a lot of attention, but I at the same time, I have a feeling that somebody's going to throw a big contract at him because they think that position is still important.
I was just reading a report saying that Dallas, from some Dallas website, basically saying that he's like their number one priority, you know, to re-sign him. Because, you know, they just got Dennis Smith Jr. in a draft, and you got to keep Nerlens to go with him, man. That'll be a great pairing. So I don't think he goes anywhere.
I think the interesting thing about him, Jonathan kind of touched on it, is his offensive ability is in his free throw shooting. He's only 23, so it's, you know, you're kind of taking a risk on him. You're hoping that he improves, but he hasn't really shown much offensively and not much of a jump shot at all, and that's something you need going the league. If not, he has to be so dominant defensively, which he can be, but he still has to get to that level. So, you know, you're kind of taking a risk and investing in him. But like Chris said, you know, Dallas really wants to keep him. And I think, you know, they made a trade for him last year to keep him, not to let him go. So I think they'll match anything thrown at him. But moving on to another young restricted free agent, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. You know, KCP has had an interesting NBA career. He hasn't really, like, taken off quite yet. He's a 3-and-D guy right now. You know, he's improved as a shooter. He still needs to get a little bit better, but defensively, he's pretty good. He's going to bring a lot of energy, get in your other guy's face. So what are your guys' thoughts on KCP?
I think he's a good player. I think he's one of those guys you can kind of plug in anywhere. He's a good defender. He can shoot the three a little bit. I think Detroit's a nice fit for him because he's not asked to do too much, and there's not a whole lot of expectations on him. So for a young guy, that's a nice fit. I'm not sure. If did you say he's restricted or unrestricted?
He's restricted.
So I'm not sure if he's going to receive any offers that are, you know, going to be too or the Pistons are going to see as too big for him to for them to match. But again, he's one of those guys, 23 years old. He's got a relatively high upside. He's improved every year, you know, quite a bit. So he's one of those guys that you know, a really dumb GM would throw a lot of money at, you know, with this expectation that he's going to be something great in a couple of years. And, you know, he kind of falls flat and the Pistons don't want to match it. But I don't see that, you know, as being a very likely situation. So I think he stays in Detroit.
Well, mentioned earlier in the year that he was going to get maxed out, but that kind of calmed down. But Chris, how much better do you think that, you know, KCP can get being, you know, only 23, 24 years old? Where do you see him ascending to, or is he kind of getting close to what we expect of him?
He's got a little more ways to go, but not, you know, not really a lot better. He'll never be that superstar. He'll never be the first option guy. But again, he's that guy who'll be great in that third or fourth option role. Kind of like how we saw Jonathan Simmons with the Spurs, you know, just fitting there perfectly. And you know, he can give you a bucket every now and then, can play some defense, athletic. So I think KCP is very valuable. Even a team like the Thunder could use a guy like him. I think he stays in Detroit, but most teams need that type of shooting guard right now.
Yeah, he's a good fit for the NBA, especially with all the type of perimeter players we have offensively. He's somebody you can put out there, and he's going to give the other guy a hard time. But moving on from some of the young guys, Andre Iguodala obviously just won a championship with the Warriors. Could he possibly leave, or is he just too happy in Golden State to mess this up?
I think he's going to stay. I don't see any reason for him to leave. But I do think there is an option that there is a possibility that he goes somewhere else. Like there's a small chance that if he gets a big contract somewhere else, let's say a place like Phoenix, if they want to add some veteran talent for a couple of years just to kind of nurture the talents of their young guys. He went to school in Arizona, so I know Phoenix is a place where he might end up if they throw the right kind of money at him, but. To be honest, there's very few situations that I can see where he leaves Golden State. If winning's his priority, which most guys at that stage in their career, that's the way it is, then I just don't see where else he'd go.
Yeah, I don't see him leaving. We see Durant taking a pay cut. Curry, Clay, Draymond, I think everybody's going to take a pay cut to keep this thing together as long as they can. Because they watch the dynasties fall apart because of ego and money. So I don't think that they want to, repeat that same process, especially before they can win some back-to-back. Like, you got to win back-to-back before you break up the dynasty.
I think everything about Andre Iguodala's game, just says that he wants to win. The willingness to go to a bench role, the willingness to do all the small things and not play a ton of minutes for this team, even though he's still a good player in this league. I think he re-signs. Someone's going to throw a lot of money at him because they know that he can still have a positive impact on his team. And one probably nice thing about Andre Iguodala, even though he's getting up there in age, the last few seasons he hasn't had to play a ton of minutes because he's been coming off the bench. So he can probably provide you with something.
One thing I do want to say about him, though, him and Curry actually just launched an app. They're out there in Silicon Valley, so him and Curry getting that app money now, he ain't going nowhere.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Another, revenue source for him, and he's made money in his career, so it's not like he's broke or anything like that. Another vet who's probably going to get some offers, and he's likely to leave LA, and that's JJ Redick.
Yeah, he's pretty much a foregone conclusion to leave, unless maybe Chris Paul goes and he sticks around for a nice paycheck. But I have a feeling he's gone, and I've heard New York is one of the options. Brooklyn's another option, so it'll be interesting to see where he ends up. But he's one of those guys, he can really fit in anywhere because of how well he shoots three.
I already saw pictures of him with Joel Embiid, so I think he's going to Philly. Joel Embiid is like a master recruiter now, man. He's with Markelle Fultz before the drafts and stuff, and he's so big on social media. Like, I don't know, he just has so much energy. I think a lot of people want to play with that guy, and I could easily see JJ fitting in there.
Was the picture you saw Embiid and JJ Redick at a soccer event?
I think so.
Yeah. Well, the Nets were there too. Rondae Hollis-Jefferson and Kenny Atkinson. So I'm sure both guys were trying to make their pitch because I think, like you mentioned, John, the Nets are going to be interested. The Sixers are going to be interested and the Knicks will be interested. Everybody can need shooting. And I think, with the Fultz pick and what they're doing in Philly, I think they want to add a veteran. And it's been noted that JJ is a great professional. So all these young teams that are trying to build the right culture are looking to add a guy like this. The price tag is going to be heavy, though. How much do you think he's going to get per year?
That's a tough one. I think JJ, I think he's going to get overpaid because he doesn't really do much. But I think he could pull something like $15 million a year.
Yeah. And especially if he gets into a bidding war, there's going to even talk about getting a little higher than that. He's still a solid all-around player, but like you said, his shooting's his best skill. So, but another veteran, another guy that's kind of interesting to keep an eye on would be Taj Gibson. He was traded to OKC last year, had some successful minutes in the playoffs. What do you see with Taj? Is he going to go to a situation where he can start, or is he going to look to go to a contending team?
With Taj, it's kind of hard to tell. He seemed happy. He seemed happy with Russell Westbrook. Like, they have that same kind of mentality.
Crazy.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. But they seem to get along, those two guys, and he's a nice fit with what they're trying to do in OKC. Now, if OKC go out and sign Blake Griffin, he's probably on the move, and he's one of those guys. He's not going to get paid too much, so there's a lot of options for him out there. But you're probably right. He'll probably go and play for a winner somewhere, somebody where he can make a difference. I don't think a guy like Taj Gibson makes much of a difference on a team like Denver or Sacramento or Brooklyn. I think he's got to go to a team that's in the playoffs, and that's where you're really going to see his value.
There's been some ties to the Heat. You know, I could see him. He's kind of like a Heat type guy. He definitely brings, you know, every team could kind of use a guy like Taj Gibson, not necessarily starting, but coming off the bench. Somebody's going to bring energy, some toughness inside, and he's going to hustle. And, you know, you're never going to outwork a guy like him. So, Chris, what about you? Where do you think Taj ends up this offseason? He stays in OKC or he lands somewhere else?
I think he'll stay in OKC, only if OKC isn't chasing, you know, Paul Millsap or Serge Ibaka, you know, any of these other guys we were talking about. I think he sticks around because him and Westbrook, man, they're playing together. They just both have that fire, man. It's entertaining to watch. I love it. So it'll be interesting to see what happens with Taj. I think that he still hasn't developed enough of a jump shot to be a more relevant player. But for what he does, he's good at that, and he sticks to it.
So interesting on Taj, definitely a guy that can move, or it depends on kind of OKC's plans. But moving on to number 20, Jamichael Green. He's a guy that kind of flies under the radar a bit. Some people have compared him as like a super light Paul Millsap. But what do you guys think about Green? Do you think he stays in Memphis? What do you like about his game? Can he get better, or is he, you know, stuck where he's at? He's age 27.
Yeah, he's kind of a late bloomer, Jamichael Green. He's a nice player. Again, he's not going to command too much interest out there. He's not going to get much better. He's kind of who he is. But he's a nice player. He can fit in with any system. I think he does a lot of the work most other guys don't want to do. He can actually kind of shoot the three some at the four position, which is kind of nice. So I think Memphis will want to keep him. He fits nicely there with what they're trying to do. So I don't see him going anywhere, but he's one of those guys. He could go anywhere and he'll be successful.
I totally agree. He has so much energy. And I don't know what's going on with Memphis. It's like they want to get better. They want to switch things up, but then they're kind of stuck in the middle. But we did see Conley and Gasol play very well last year. That Parsons contract still hurts my soul. but hopefully the Grizzlies can, you know, right the ship, because I love that team. You know, they play with a lot of energy, one of the best stadiums. Coaching is actually a lot better now. So I don't know, man. I don't know what happens with Jamichael, but I think they should keep him around and let Randolph walk.
Yeah, I think they want to keep him around. Obviously, Randolph's getting up there in age, and they kind of need to move forward. They know they're not at that contending level. There definitely needs to be some work on that roster. That Parsons deal really hurt them because he played, what, like 20 or 30 games for them? And when he played, he was not good at all. So, but I think, you know, Jermichael, I think he's a restricted free agent, if I'm not mistaken. And you could probably – this is another guy you could maybe see some of the bad teams in the league try to pry away if they throw some money at him. But it's a tough situation because he's not like – doesn't have star potential or anything where you think he's going to get a lot better. So it's how much money are you willing to throw at a guy like this? But that wraps it up for there. Are there any other free agents that you guys want to touch on before we get out of here?
No, I can't think of any off the top of my head.
Chris, what about you? Anybody you want to touch on before we leave here?
No, I think we covered pretty much everybody, man. We got to do a trade show with all the crazy trades, man. Yeah. You know, after free agency, after July 1st, you know it's going to go down like always.
Let me get one more.
Actually, what about Rudy Gay?
Yeah, Rudy Gay, that's an interesting one. Coming off a torn Achilles, you know, obviously he's going to leave Sacramento. They're going full rebuild. He's had ties to OKC, Miami. Where do you guys see him possibly signing this offseason?
That's a tough one because he just had that – was it an Achilles injury?
Yeah, I think it was a torn Achilles, and that's like one of the toughest things to come back from.
Yeah, I don't know, man, and – I wasn't too high on Rudy Gay before the injury. That injury kind of hurts him. Maybe he can kind of pull off a Wesley Matthews and land a big contract after, you know, an injury because of the high upside. But maybe a place like Miami, I could see him going, or a place like New York.
Yeah, maybe if New York wants to get some, you know, just a player in there. The thing about Rudy Gay, sorry, Chris, is that he's just like kind of an inconsistent player, and he's never been really correlated with winning.
Oh my God, that's exactly what I was about to say. Is he has never really been a winner. But I don't know, sometimes I question, does he need to be in a winning environment, you know, or is it just him? Is it his mentality? But I think he'll end up in Miami. That's where I think he's going to end up going to. But again, man, you can never count out the Knicks, man. Phil Jackson's sounding very senile these days.
Yeah, I got actually, I got a few guys that I just thought of. You know, we'll get just a quick on them. Joe Ingles is a guy that I think is interesting. High basketball IQ type player. Definitely a complimentary piece. Where do you guys think? You think Utah's able to hold on to him, or somebody throws big money his way?
Well, I think he stays, especially if Gordon Hayward walks. And because I expect Gordon Hayward to walk, I think Ingles stays and kind of slips into that that role that Hayward was holding on to. I think you're right. He's a nice player. He shoots the ball really well. You know, he's got good size at a small forward position. So I don't know. I don't see too many teams wanting to pull him away from Utah. I think, especially if Gordon Hayward leaves, he stays put.
What about you, Chris? You think Ingles is somebody tries to prime away, or he's staying in Utah, especially if they lose Gordon Hayward?
I think he sticks around. I think a lot of those guys want to stay in Utah because, again, man, they've made some really good jumps this year.
Yeah. Before we get out of here, two guys, just tell me where you think they're going to land, and then we'll get out of here. And that's Patty Mills and Andre Robertson.
Patty Mills is going to stay in San Antonio, and Andre Robertson is going to end up with the New York Knicks.
I wouldn't mind watching airball for them, but
yeah, I think the Spurs keep Patty Mills. He's such a great backup point guard, so he produces at a high level for his role. Andre Robertson, I have no idea where he'll end up, but I just hope he's been in the gym every day this offseason working on his threes.
Yeah, that's what he needs to do, work on his jump shot. And he could, I mean, no offense to him. I was just joking around about the airball thing. He's a great defender, one of the best defenders in the NBA. So he's going to compliment any team he goes to in that aspect. You just need to improve offensively. But that wraps it up for today. Chris, Jonathan, thank you guys for hopping on. Free agency will be here July 1st. And as always, thanks everybody for listening.